The Rams are back where they belong, where it all began in 1946. The last 20 years have been a bad dream. Now, it's time for the Ramble On Podcast. Here are your hosts, Steve Mason and Ryan Abraham.
Welcome to the Ramble On Podcast. I am your co-host, Ryan Abraham, and I'm your only host today for the Ramble On Podcast, talking about the Los Angeles Rams. Steve Mason, my co-host, is a little under the weather today. He will not be able to join the show. We apologize for not having a show last week. We'll be back again next week with Steve and myself, and we'll get some more guests on for you. And we'll let you know a little bit about the show. You can go and find the show on RamsRambleOn.com. RamsRambleOn.com. You can also find us on iTunes if you want to subscribe to the show. Leave us some positive feedback. Leave us a rating. That would be wonderful. We are part of LARamsReport.com. That's part of the Scout.com network. You can follow us on Twitter at LA_RamsReport. You can follow me on Twitter at InsideTroy. And today we're going to talk to a team insider for the Los Angeles Rams, now Los Angeles Rams, Miles Simmons. You can follow. He's a team insider for the LA Rams. Follow him on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons, MYLESA Simmons. Great follow. There's a lot of good stuff covering the Rams. We're going to talk about free agency. We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about the move to Los Angeles. Lots of things to get to. Miles, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking some Rams with us.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Should be interesting. I mean, what's it been like for you when this whole thing, the last couple of months, how this all went down? I mean, I'm sure you and all the employees of the Rams that, you know, live in the St. Louis area, it's been a pretty big shock and probably a whole bunch of stuff going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, it has definitely been a crazy time. I mean, from the time of the announcement to then just really figuring out, you know, whether or not I am going to go, and then and now just getting into the process of actually moving on out there. I did get to go out there last week, I think it was, for that press conference that the Rams had in Manhattan Beach. And so, you know, and I'm sort of familiar with the area. I spent a summer out there a couple of years ago. So, I mean, it's been an interesting process. I'll tell you that. I mean, just from the standpoint of, you know, you're in an office where everything is starting to move. And so you've got to kind of work around that, with banging and picking things apart and everything like that. But it's an exciting time, I think, for all members in the organization who are making the move out there. And it should be a really, really exciting thing to have the 50th season of Los Angeles Rams football.
Are people pretty excited that work there? I mean, I know, I'm sure not everyone's going to make the move, but the people that are they kind of excited about it?
No, yeah. I mean, I can speak for myself and my department, the broadcasting department that I'm in, that we're definitely excited because, you know, it's an opportunity for us. You know, you're going to the second biggest media market in the United States, and there was no NFL team there. And I think the advantage that we have is that we're not going to be a fresh team. You know, this is a team that has a lot of history in Southern California. 49 years is a really long time. And so there are a lot of fans that have been Rams fans for generations, right? And I think we got to have a little taste of that last year when we had training camp in Oxnard with the Cowboys for those couple of days. I mean, the fans were outstanding. They were unbelievable. And so that's something that I think is really exciting just from our standpoint. You know, we're looking forward to being able to interact with those fans.
Can you kind of walk me through the process when those meetings and stuff were going on? I'm sure, I mean, it's not just affecting the, you know, your job. I mean, it's everyone's lives that works there was being affected by this vote and how it was going to go. I mean, was it pretty tense around the Rams camp there when all this was going on?
Sure. I mean, I don't think that's, you know, any kind of secret. You know, when things are about your life or being decided in Houston and you're not there and you don't really have any control over that, sure, it can be a little bit tense, but it also, you know, it just is what it is. I mean, these are things, I think it was, you know, now the departed James Leonard's Chris Long, one of them said last year, you know, there are two levels in this building, that we're still in right now in St. Louis. And, you know, you got the first level is usually football and then the second level is the business area. And they characterize it as a third floor thing, you know, so it's something that we couldn't really control on the business side, the players couldn't really control. So, I mean, sure, it was tense, but, you know, after it happens, you just got to figure out, all right, what is the next step? And I think that the organization has done a nice job of putting the options for us on the table and explaining to us through the steps in the process what those would be.
We're with Miles Simons. He's a team insider for the Los Angeles Rams. Follow him on Twitter at Miles A. Simons. You mentioned coming out here last week. There was a meeting in Manhattan Beach, pretty close to where I live. I live in Hermosa Beach. Our buddy Steve Mason, who hope gets better, he lives up in Venice Beach. We're kind of dotted up and down the coast. What was that meeting like there? And did the whole team show up? And what kind of stuff was talked about?
Well, I think Fisher said about 80% of the players were there, and that did include some of the players who were scheduled to be pending free agents. So you did see a couple of those guys there. And really, they were just – when you have a – you can't have a team meeting, I should say. You cannot have a team meeting in the middle of the offseason because of the CBA, right? So this was a special permission thing that they got to have. And from the NFL Players Association, I think the Management Council as well. And so what they got to do was basically just give the players information on – where they should live, what the next couple months are probably going to look like. And really, right now, that means the off-season program is going to be held in Oxnard. It's where the Cowboys facility, for training camp, that's where that's going to be. And then training camp, I think Fisher mentioned, likely at UC Irvine. And then for the regular season, they're still looking at a couple of options in the Thousand Oaks area for where everything is going to be held. And then you're going to have a temporary facility also for the business side, probably in that same area. And that'll be, for the next 2-3 years until they get that permanent facility built. And so that's what was really going on for the players in that meeting in Manhattan Beach, because you can't really talk turkey, right? You can't talk the strategy, really getting things set up for the next season until April, I think 18th is when the off-season program can actually begin. So those are the kinds of things we were talking about last week.
Yeah, it's funny. Logistically, it can be a bit of a nightmare. I mean, obviously moving an entire organization is not easy, but just with, having OTAs in Oxnard, I mean, that's fairly, pretty far north up the coast. The games will be downtown LA or, a few years in Inglewood, kind of more in the middle. If you have training camp down in Orange County, like in Irvine or something, UC Irvine, that's at least an hour or so south, a lot more of that with traffic. In the valley, it's a whole different thing. Everything that's being talked about, Miles, is pretty spread out. It's not like you can, if you're a player or, someone like yourself coming in, like, oh, I want to live here. You could be 2 hours away. You could live near Oxnard and be 2 hours away from training camp if you're trying to get to Irvine.
Right. And you know what? That's why I think it's, the way things have been characterized is Oxnard is a more temporary situation. And then when you talk about maybe having UC Irvine as the training camp location, well, that is more or less – it's basically like as if you used to say, okay, what the Jets, right, they go and train in Cortland, New York. But that's basically what you're doing. Or the Browns going down to Columbus. It's not – you're taking your training camp and you're moving it somewhere. So it's not like you're trying to be based it's still Oxnard when you're all the way down at UC Irvine. And that's also, it's kind of the beauty of the Southern California, Los Angeles area, because you've got all these different aspects of places that, you really talk about the Rams, they played in Anaheim for, 15 years. So you have different parts of this fan base that you can tap into, and I think that's part of the impetus for maybe wanting to have training camp at UC Irvine is just the simple fact that, all right, you can re-engage those fans that were in the Orange County area.
Yeah. I want to get into some of the free agency talk and the draft and all that kind of stuff, but I think once things got settled and everyone knew the Rams were coming, and there's still that kind of uncertainty with, will the Chargers come? Will the Raiders come? What do you feel like in the Rams organization, is there a sense that it would be nice to have a second team, or it would be nice to just kind of own the market, just be a Rams market only?
Well, I think CEO Kevin DeMoss said this a lot. If there's a second team, we're going to welcome them in. And that's the beauty of the Inglewood site and the Inglewood Stadium is that it really is being built for two teams. And so, you're going to have two of everything. You've got two owner's boxes. You've got two home locker rooms. And the way the stadium is going to be built, it's going to be really easy to be able to flip one team or the other in terms of advertising and the scoreboard and all these different things. So it's the building such that it can really house two teams very easily. And so no matter what the Chargers decide to do and then what, and no matter what the Raiders then decide to do, if it happens so to be that there are two teams or if there's one team, it's going to be a good facility.
All right. Well, let's jump into some of the free agency stuff. The last couple of days have been a little crazy as far as free agency goes. Not really seeing a lot of players kind of coming in. It's just mostly been, you know, cuts or guys leaving. But there's a lot of cap space. I think $45 million or so in cap space. How would you assess kind of what's been going on as far as the free agency stuff and the, you know, the releases, like you mentioned, Laurinaitis and stuff going so far?
Well, it's interesting because you do have a situation where now you've at least got two pieces of that secondary that they wanted to retain, in Janoris Jenkins and Rodney McLeod. Those two players are now in the NFC East, right? And we're able to keep Trumaine Johnson with the franchise tag, that he has now signed. And then you also brought Mark Barron back. And I think that those two guys were really probably the most important guys, if you have to characterize it like that, that they wanted to bring back. Because what you've done with the release of Laurinaitis is you kind of created a vacancy, right? And you filled it internally by trying to move Alec Ogletree over from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. But then you create a vacancy at outside linebacker in that weak side spot. Well, Mark Barron did an excellent job of filling that role last year. And so now that's why now that you've brought Mark Barron back, you have a situation where you've got a really, really fast linebacking core. And I think that's really what they wanted to create, you know, just a situation where Greg Williams, defensive coordinator, really likes to have guys play fast. He's always talking about it at practice and, you know, whenever he's talking to the media too, play fast. And so now that you have those two guys in there that they're not only fast, but they hit hard. And I think those are a couple of things that you're going to see from them and that's going to be really good. Now, you still have to replace Rodney McLeod and Janoris Jenkins. I think it's maybe a little bit easier to project the replacement for Jenkins because they played games without him in the past. I think last year the Detroit game really stands out as one where Marcus Roberson started on the outside. And he did a really nice job. And then you had Trumaine Johnson basically shadowing Calvin Johnson, also did a really nice job with that, had a pick six in that game. So there are going to be options internally to replace Jenkins with guys like Wilberson, also E.J. Gaines, who missed the entire 2015 season with a foot injury. He's going to be coming back. He's got a real chance to start out there and then do a really nice job. But then Rodney McLeod, you have some internal options, guys like Cody Davis, who they just resigned a two-year deal. He is probably the most free safety type player that they've got right now on the roster. And then another one I think would be Christian Bryant, who made his way up from the practice squad. I believe he was a seventh-round pick in 2014. Spent the year on the practice squad and then was on the practice squad before being promoted to the active roster in 2015. And, you know, he did some things on special teams. But when you look at that free safety position, I think it's interesting because Rodney McLeod came as an undrafted free agent. So these are, if you look at where these guys come from, you can pick up guys all over the place that can play free safety. I think that, you know, you may look at external options too, guys that are still on the market for that free safety position. But that's maybe a position that they could also fill internally.
The Janoris Jenkins one was kind of weird because earlier on the week he took to social media a little bit and I think he called one of the offers disrespectful. Were you kind of surprised the way that kind of ended and before he signed with the New York Giants?
I was and I wasn't. I mean, there were things that went on during the 2015 season. I mean, there were a couple articles written, not by me, but by other outlets that said that, you know, Janoris had been negotiating with the team that through the, I think it was the bye week in the season, and then he said that he wanted to put it off. And you know what? If you're Jenkins and you think that you can go on the market and get the kind of deal you got, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, that's why guys go to free agency. And because they can get the kind of money that Janoris Jenkins was able to receive. And you know what? When you're talking about a player, hey, you know, that's what his job is to maximize his value. Now, if you're the Rams, well, you have to have a sense of what can you comfortably spend, because this is a sport with a hard cap. What can you comfortably spend to bring this player back that will not, you know, be detrimental to your future? And those are the kinds of things you have to balance. So, I don't know. Sometimes Janoris Jenkins just puts things on social media, and that's the kind of person he is. Good dude. He's a good player. But, you know, I wouldn't read too much into it. He's in a good spot for him now, and the Rams are going to be able to probably move on from him.
Yeah, he's got paid, so he'll be all right.
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We both would like
that. Money to write.
Yeah, exactly. They don't pay us writers much stuff like that. For,
yeah.
If we were to run a 4-3-40 or something, that might help.
I guess so, yeah.
So running backs, Bog, obviously Todd Gurley, you know, all world stud. I think a lot of the Rams fans in Los Angeles, if you don't know anything about the Rams, they probably know about Todd Gurley and how good he's been. But Benny Cunningham, he's a restricted free agent right now. And I think he took a visit to New England and put on social media he liked that. And then, you know, the Trey Mason stuff when he got arrested. What's, you know, as far as the backup to Todd Gurley, what's going on, you think, with the running back situation there?
Well, it's interesting. And you look at what the Rams have done with that running back position. They pretty much drafted somebody for that spot every single year that Fisher's been here, whether it was Isaiah Teed, and then you had Zach Stacy, and then Trey Mason, and then Gurley, right? And so I think that that's a position where the Rams will probably add someone else once again. I don't know who, whether it's an undrafted guy or whether it's somebody that they take later in the draft. I mean, obviously, Todd Gurley, you know, talk about franchise quarterbacks. Well, for this team, Todd Gurley is a franchise running back. And Fisher has talked about how, you know, you want him to be this team's future, the cornerstone, really, of the offense. And when he only played 13 games, he only started 12, and he still finished number 3 in the league in rushing, I think that tells you just the kind of talent that this guy has. And so now, well, I think they would probably like to have Benny Cunningham back. You look at the restricted free agents that they offered a tender to, he was the only player besides Case Keenum that they gave themselves that option with. Now, whether he signs that offer sheet, that's, again, a situation where you are going to have to ask yourself, all right, is this contract going to be something that you can live with without, you know, hurting yourself down the road based on this player and based on this position? Well, Benny Cunningham does a lot of really good things on this team, though. I mean, he's not just a running back. He's a really good third down back. He's really good at pass protection. But then he's also been in the top 5 in kick return over the last 2 years. So that's what you want from that spot. And I think that makes him a little bit more versatile. And I think that also could be a situation where if he does get an offer sheet, the Rams might match it. But again, they're going to have to weigh what that means.
So some other free agents out there. So on the defensive line, Eugene Sims and Nick Fairley, Corey Harkley, the tight end / fullback, and Wes Welker, and I think the kicker might be too.
Yes, Greg Dillon is a free agent. Yeah,
he's a free agent as well. Have you heard anything kind of rumblings about any of those guys so far?
Well, I know that they would like to keep the guys that they've developed. You know, Eugene Sims is probably a guy that they would like to bring back. Nick Fairley, if he's at the right price, I think he did a really nice job as a rotational piece. And you know, when you're talking about the Rams defensive tackles, obviously it starts with Aaron Donald. But you know, you look at Nick Fairley didn't necessarily have the stats, but what he was able to do is come in, be a rotational piece, take up some double teams that can help give Aaron Donald the freedom to do what he does so well, and that's blow past guys, make him look silly, and then make tackles in the backfield. So I think those are two guys that you might want to bring back. As for the kicker spot, Greg Zuerlein has a lot of legs. He's done a lot of things where he's shown that he can kick the ball a long way, but he had a rough year. You know, and I think when you look at how some of his kicks materialized, things did not necessarily go well. So whether or not the Rams bring him back is up for question, but Fisher said that he would like to have another kicker in there for competition, at least, with Greg. So they may bring him back still, but they're probably, if they do, they probably bring another kicker in as well to give him some competition, just based on the way things turned out last year.
What's Wes Welker look like? Everyone watched him with New England for all the, you know, for those years. He was a stud. What's any chance that he's back, and can he be productive?
Yes and yes. I think part of the issue with Welker last year was that he didn't get into the system until, you know, halfway through the season. So that kind of puts him behind from that standpoint, and it's not his fault. But if he comes back and, you know, it looks like he might want to, then he's going to be in a situation where he knows the offense better, he knows the quarterbacks better, and I think that if you look at the quarterback situation, that was part of what kept Welker's production down. I mean, that was part of what kept everybody's production down from a receiver standpoint last year. Welker, I think, can still get the job done in the slot. I think he runs really crisp routes. He knows how to get himself open, knows how to, you know, when a quarterback doesn't throw you open, you got to make yourself open, you know, get yourself to that position. I think he knows how to do that really well. And so he can still be effective in the league. Whether or not that will be in Los Angeles, I'm not sure at this point.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the quarterbacks. We'd be remiss if we did not talk about the quarterbacks. I mean, there's obviously impact on the draft. But, man, the free agency stuff is kind of crazy. Like, you went to lunch, probably three more quarterbacks signed somewhere else when you were doing that. But
I know.
But there's – okay, so all, the crazy stuff. So Mark Sanchez signs with the Broncos. You know, Osweiler, he signs – where did he sign? With the Texans?
The Houston, yeah. Went to Houston, and then John Elway got mad.
And he said, I'm going to sign Mark Sanchez. Johnny Manziel got released by the Browns. Of course, Robert Griffin III, we talked about, you know, he's he was released by the Redskins. You know, Case Keenum, that you mentioned, he has an offer sheet from the Rams. The feeling I get is it seems like he's someone that they definitely want to keep around. But there's other options there, too. I mean, Matt Leinart apparently reached out to Jeff Fisher on social media. All kinds of quarterback stuff going around. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, and I've been writing about this. I think that the Rams are keeping their options open with the quarterback spot. And a lot of people like to say they see that Keenum got the first round tender and, like, oh my God, well, why would you do that? And it's, well, you're protecting yourself. You know, you want a situation where Keenum is going to be there. A team is not going to give up a first round pick for Case Keenum. And if you bring Case Keenum back at that first round tender, then that's still a modest salary. And so that, I think you're protecting yourself with that. And, you know, you can make the argument, oh, why didn't you just give him the second round? Well, because you still want to protect yourself, and you want to reward Keenum in some way for going down the stretch and proving that he could win some games. Because especially after the Rams had gone on a 5-game losing streak, he came in, he stabilized that position, he allowed the Rams to really, and Fisher says this, to get in position to go 4-0 down the stretch. I mean, they're a blocked field goal in overtime from winning that game in San Francisco. And I'm not really big on the what-ifs of life and in football, but that actually was a situation where Keenum did get them in position to win, and then the special teams blunder was what happened to which ended up, you know, going in the 49ers' favor. So, I think that they're keeping their options open. I think in a perfect world, maybe Sean Mannion comes in, he seizes that job at quarterback, and then you've really got this thing stabilized. You also have Nick Foles. He's still on the contract. He's still with the team, you know, as of, you know, whatever it is, 2 o'clock Central Time on March 11th. But that there are options there, and they're really trying to keep them open because Fisher and he both said this at the Combine. You know, you're probably going to bring in a fourth quarterback and have him compete with the rest of the guys there. You know, Case Keenum is the incumbent starter, and I always use this language. He's the incumbent, but he has not won the job really for the 2016 season quite yet. And so whether it's a free agent that comes in or whether it's another quarterback from the draft, there probably is going to be a quarterback that is not currently on the roster who will be on the roster by the time training camp starts. So we'll just have to see how it shakes out.
Do you, I kind of thought the secondary would stay together, and that was a, you know, one of the priorities to sign. But, you know, now with a couple departures, Do you think there's any impact on the first pick, you know, the 15th pick? Is there options to go defensive back, or do you think it's going to be, you know, quarterback or wide receiver at that spot?
You know, it's interesting. Last year, if you asked me, you know, on March 11th, 2015, do I think the Rams would take a running back at number 10, I would have said absolutely not. So you just have to take this answer with a grain of salt. I don't know that they would do that, but I would not put anything past them. You know, you with Les Snead, he is gone best player available in his mind for in the first round. That's basically what they've done. And when you look at last year, well, they drafted for me basically right after that. So you had Rob Havenstein get picked. You had Jamon Brown and then Andrew Donnell and Cody Whitman. You had all these offensive linemen picked after that, which was what they needed. And now you have a situation where these guys in the offensive line can grow together. And they came first place when it comes to giving up sacks. Only allowed 18 sacks last year. That's something that I think that they can write home about. Now, when it comes to defensive back, yeah, heck, if there's a best player available, if they think Eli Apple is the best player available at number 15, yeah, I can see them picking Eli Apple, you know, but if it's Laquon Treadwell at number, sitting there at number 15, and, you know, we know this team really needs a number one wide receiver, but if he's the best player available that they've got sitting there on their draft board, I can see them going that way as well. So, it depends on who they've got rated as the best player available. As for who that is right now, I have no idea.
Yeah, lots of options. It's going to be, I mean, the draft is always crazy, but leading up to it and just so much stuff going on with the LA Rams. So we really appreciate you coming on and sharing some insight, Miles. It's been fun. And hopefully we get to talk to you down the road too.
No problem. Yeah, anytime you guys want.
So wait, no, you're coming out here. You're going to move out in a couple of weeks?
Yes. I think March 28th is the day I will hop on the plane.
Wow. And then is a lot of the staff, is a lot of people moving out at that time, or at least in your department?
My department, yeah. So we'll all be out there because we got cheerleader auditions. If you want more information about cheerleader auditions, please go to cheerfor.therams.com because there's plenty of information up there on that. I'll put it in that shameless plug.
Yeah,
we got cheerleader auditions coming up, and that's going to be really important. So, you know, our team reporter, Danny Kleppinger, she'll be really heavily involved in that, and so will the rest of the broadcast team, making sure we're going to put together a lot of packages based on that, because obviously, you know, LA Rams cheerleaders coming back, that's a pretty big deal. So we'll be out there for those events, and then, you know, all kinds of stuff leading up to the draft party, which I'm not necessarily sure of the details of, but I know that there is going to be one. So, you know, fans, keep your eyes peeled for that too.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's going to be huge. I remember when I was in school at USC, there was like with the you know, students at USC, they were trying out to be Rams cheerleaders and stuff. Not Rams, I'm sorry. Raiders cheerleaders, because it was just across the street at the Coliseum. But it's going to be, that'll be a huge event here in LA. A whole bunch of people, I'm sure, want to be NFL cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they should be, especially when you're talking about LA. Like, there's what, you know, what's better than that, right?
Yeah. You know where you're going to live yet?
No, I do not. That's another thing.
That's all over the place.
They're taking care of us, so I'll have to figure that out right away. But it'll be something I have to figure out.
It's funny because in the meeting when Jeff Fisher had to talk about that traffic and all that kind of stuff, it is really it's a big deal. And where you pick to live, it's so many people live somewhere. Like I live in Hermosa Beach. They call it like the South Bay bubble. Like we don't go out to Hollywood and stuff all the time. You're mostly just kind of sticking around local. You pick a spot, and that's kind of where you are, because it's not always easy to get out of where you're living.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I told you, I've spent some time out there. I know that. So wherever they decide to drop that temporary facility, that's probably going to be where I am.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, you check him out on Twitter, Miles A. Simons, S-I-M-M-O-N-S. Miles is M-Y-L-E-S. He's the team insider for the Los Angeles Rams, now Los Angeles Rams. Is it hard to say that? Like, do you get used to saying that yet or no?
You know, there are some times when I do, I'm like St. Louis, and I was like, oops. So, but I do. It's fun to say LA Rams when I'm, you know, introducing myself to people.
It's hard, you know. It's like back when we used to write checks, you know, you would have to switch over from the years. Like, you would always forget to write the last year. Or if you get married, you're like, That's my wife. Wow, it's hard to say that. Kind of thing, you know, and that's like
hopefully I'll get to that point eventually.
Yeah, the LA Rams. It's just something, you know. I think it's easier for here in LA, but yeah, we're used to, you know, well, if you're here 21 years ago, you're kind of used to that. But if you worked for the Rams for years and it's St. Louis Rams, I think it would be a lot more, you know, it's hard to get that in your brain.
Yeah. No, it was funny. The first time I think I was really introducing myself was Miles Simmons from the LA Rams. We were at the Senior Bowl. And I was saying it to, like, I went up to Jordan Payton. I was like, hey, you know, Miles Simmons, LA Rams. And I was like, wow, that is different. It's different to say. So, I mean, especially, you know, you're talking to Jordan Payton. That's a guy who, you know, is from the area. So
yeah.
It makes it that much more special.
Nice. All right. Well, definitely check out his stuff on the official Rams site. He's a team insider. Follow him on Twitter, Miles A. Simmons. Sorry. Did I say that? I hope I didn't say that wrong too many times. I got that ahead. Thanks so much again for coming on.
No problem, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed this Ramble On podcast. We'll be back next week. We'll have Steve Mason back. Hopefully, he'll be feeling a little bit better. So sorry he wasn't here this week. Thanks to Miles coming on and everyone else. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next time.